Hello and welcome to Conversations with a Send Mum with me, Nicole Bateman, as your host. Today we're going to be talking to Leona Burton, who is a mum of six and owner of Mums in Business International, as well as director on many charities like Hopeful Handbags. So Leona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited, and honestly, I'm really excited to be interviewed because it's usually the other way around. So I'm here, I have a cup of tea, I'm using it as an escape for my children and an excuse to have 5 minutes to myself.
Excellent, I love that. So can you tell us a little bit about you and your connection to the Send community?
Of course I can, absolutely. So like Nicole just said, I have six children. They range from 20, almost, well, he's not quite 20, but he is going to be 20 soon, and one. So I have a vast collection of children, all of whom are very, very different, very different personalities, very different needs, wants and desires. We have a number of SEN challenges in our household, and it's been a long journey. It has been a long journey and not an easy one to navigate. You know, I've been homeschooling now for 6 years at this point, and that was deliberate because I was so overseeing educational psychologists, I could not face to be in any more meetings. And so I thought I'd take it upon myself to deal with all of it myself. And it has been a journey, and one that I have not always enjoyed, if I'm being completely honest. It's hard. And nobody talks about how hard it is, or it's only become a thing recently to talk about how hard it was and is. And so, you know, when my son was first diagnosed with autism, probably when he was about 5, which was quite early because obviously, you know, they try not to, well, they did try not to until they were a bit later on in life, but it was hard. I was a young mum. I had my son at 18. I'd never been around children, so I hadn't got any brothers or sisters or any kind of cousins that were really young. So I was navigating being a young mum and, you know, doing the mum thing. And I didn't realise that he had any additional needs. It was just regular. It was just a regular thing to me. And so yeah. It was only when he went to nursery and they said, you know, interestingly, it was the alphabet. The alphabet was the first thing that was a kind of, the alphabet was the thing that was apparent to them, and it wasn't to me. So basically, I taught him the alphabet before we'd started nursery, and when he went to nursery, they were teaching him phonics, and he had like an adverse reaction to them trying to teach him phonics when he already knew the alphabet, right? So he was like, that is not what this is. And they were like, yeah, this is, we can see that this is an issue. And he was very stuck in his ways and he knew it was the alphabet. And at that point they were, you know, Leona, you need to have him looked at, and all of this stuff started. And honestly, if I'm being completely honest, it was a blur. It's a complete blur. I just remember being in and out of meeting, upon doctor's appointment, upon optician, upon hearing tests, upon speech therapist, upon all the things that you have to do and go through. And it was just a blur of chaos. And I'm sure that I have blocked it out because it was traumatic for me. It's probably traumatic for him too, but it was very traumatic for me. I didn't enjoy any of it whatsoever. I felt like, if I'm being completely honest, that I was looked down upon because I was a young parent. And so that whole kind of perception around parenting and what a good parent is and what not a good parent is, that was very triggering for me, and I didn't enjoy any of it at all. And so I ensued probably a 8-year very unhealthy relationship with schools. I didn't like what they were doing at schools, and they didn't like the fact that I was a tiger mum, and so we fell out often, far too regularly for my liking. It was a very unhealthy relationship. I didn't like 90% of what was going on in the school environment. I thought that they weren't facilitating what he needed, and they just wanted me to leave them alone and not harass them. And so, you know, it's a very unhappy time. And I don't look back on his school years as a great time. And when he began high school, I made myself and my husband made the decision to pull them out of school and go traveling, with the intention that it would take us away from the chaos that was school at that point. And you know, it was hard. It was very difficult. I felt very, very, very isolated. At that point, you know, SEN having SEN children and that whole movement that we're now feeling, it wasn't a thing. So it was isolating. There was lots of stigma attached to it, or I felt there was. He was the naughty child. And I remember distinctly going to a parents' evening, and in high school, so not that long ago, and underneath his name written was naughty boy.
What?
And I actually don't know how I didn't lose my mind. Like, I remember at that point being like, I am done. And when his brother went to the same high school, he faced issues because of my eldest son. You know, teachers wouldn't take him seriously, and my son is very, very different to his brother. So he was very academic and very ahead, and he didn't struggle at all. In fact, he gave the school a hard time because he was so far ahead. So very, very different, very different challenges, right? He came home and he's like, "Mom, like, they're not taking me seriously, and you know, I can tell because it's because of my brother." And he also found that a challenge, and I was just like, "Look, I am done with this. You know, I cannot do this a single second longer. It's causing way too much stress in my household. You know, me and my husband were bickering and not getting along because of the additional stress." And I was like, "I'm done. Like, I don't want them to go to school." And at that time, my now 9-year-old had started nursery, and she'd gone in and they pulled me to the side, and I'll never forget. They sit you on those tiny little chairs that are about,
yeah, they're so little,
right? And I'm sat on one of these chairs, and my husband sat on one of these chairs, and it's like a parents' eveningy type of conversation. And they're like, "She's amazing, you know, she's doing really well, but she doesn't talk." And I was like, "What?" And they're like, "She doesn't talk. We think she has selective mutism." And I looked at my husband, and my husband looked at me, and we were like, "We are not doing this again." So we had all that going on with my eldest and my second son feeling the, you know, the wrath of the system. And I thought, not a prayer am I sitting in another meeting, them telling me what's best for my child, when I know what's best for my child. And I was like, no. And within 6 weeks, I were pulled out and we'd gone traveling, and that was it. And I now I have 6 children. It would take a miracle for my children to ever be in a school environment again. So I have this, like, I actually have a physical reaction to the school environment, and it's not a good one. It's not a good one. And they've done, you know, they've done summer schools. They did summer school in Mexico and they loved it and they absolutely thrived. But no. It has been horrendous. And honestly, I salute any SEND parent or carer, honestly, because we're a special breed.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many things there that you've touched on that I'm sure everyone listening will resonate with, because it is that chaos of appointment here, appointment there, all of those kind of things that we go through daily. So it's amazing that you took them out. You went world schooling and they're able to be, their needs are met, whereas some unfortunately are not. And you've done that. So that's amazing. And that gives that hope to others that are currently in that chaos bit right now. So yeah, thank you for sharing all of that.
I honestly wish, you know what, I wish that I had resources like you provide. Yeah. Way back then, because we didn't have that, and we were, you know, we were made to feel, and I'm sure it still happens to this day, like we were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And we were doing wrong by our children by fighting for what we believe is right. And I want to encourage your listeners to follow their own gut.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you know best. And even if you get it wrong, which can happen along the way, we're not perfect, we're human, you do know what's right for your children. And you need to listen to that more, because every single person around you that is a professional mostly guides you in the wrong direction. And whether they do that deliberately or not, I don't know. But I'm telling you that we know best. We do.
Yeah, mum knows best. Or dad. But yeah, it is that, because there's been times over summer, for example, I was made to feel and question when I got a no to assess for his EHCP. I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't need one, maybe, but actually I know that he does. And I've actually got about five different professionals also agreeing that he does. It was just the local authority that said no. We then went to mediation and we overturned it. But it's that fight, and it's that questioning. You start to question, and we don't want that. And that's why we need to surround ourselves with other SEND parents who get it, who get that fight, and who understand. So that encouragement to those who are listening is really, really important one, and something that we need to always hang on to in those times where we're feeling alone and feeling bashed down by the system.
And also you doubt your own sanity.
Yep.
You know, the amount of times, I don't know about you, but I doubted my own sanity. And for a long, long period of time, it wasn't just a short period of time. I'm talking years. And I would sit and I think, is it me? Like, is there something that I am not doing to provide my children with what they need? And that is an awful place to be. And it's exceptionally lonely, and it's depressing, and it causes anxiety, and it disrupts your household.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy. So I would encourage every single person that is feeling that way to reach out to somebody who also understands, because I guarantee that they will tell you that they also feel the same, but they're afraid to say those things because we are made to feel like we are doing wrong by our children, which is not acceptable.
No.
It's not acceptable. And I remember, oh my goodness, they must have hated me. I remember saying to a professional in a meeting, when I stood them down, I was like, watch this space. I will do everything in my power to make sure no other mum feels the same way as I do. And I remember the look on her face, like, what have I just done? And I was like, I was deadly serious. You know, I was deadly serious, because it's a horrible place to be.
Yeah. Definitely. And that segues really nicely, actually, because you, a lot of us as SEND parent, we can't do the 9 to 5, because actually it's a full-time job doing the chasing, the emailing, phoning, everything like that. So a lot of us as SEND parents often then try and start up maybe a business or something like that. I know that's what I've done, and it's come from my passions to help my son and help other kids like my son. What kind of tips and things like that would you give to SEND parents who are like, actually, I want to make a little bit of money, want to follow my passions and do something for me through business as well?
So when I was going through the height of the stress, I had been working in television, and I'd worked really, really hard to build a career that I loved and that I was obsessed with. Television work does not work alongside having children with additional stuff, right? Is not practical at all. Yeah. So I decided to start three businesses at the same time and leave television. Now, completely rookie error, don't do that. Like, don't do what I did and just pile additional pressure on your plate. But I would say that being self-employed gives you a degree of flexibility to work in and around your children's appointments. And we have many of those. So it is finding something that works for you, that works in and amongst your family. You know, I have built a very successful organization around my children's needs, around their desires, and not always their wants, because they wouldn't have me working at all and we'd be playing all day, every day, could have their own way. But actually, I do this for me also. And I think that that's what I would say when you're looking at becoming self-employed or running a business, if that's what you're drawn to do, do something that you enjoy, because a lot of what we have to deal with isn't always pleasant and it's not always fun. And I would say that making sure that you enjoy your business 90% of the time is something that's super important, because we need some light relief sometimes, and sometimes we want to go to work or do our business just so that we have a break away from dealing with all the other stuff that we have to deal with, if we're being completely honest, right? Yeah. So it's finding something you're passionate about, figuring out how you can make money doing that, and doing that around what it is that's important for you. And that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to love that. I think one of my coping mechanisms is starting the business, trying to find that purpose in some of that chaos and that pain that you have to fight all the time. And how do you, running a really, really successful business, having six kids with lots of different needs, what do you do for you as Leona?
Really interesting question. First of all, probably not enough, if I'm being honest, especially last year. Last year was a difficult year for me. I just had a baby, and baby number six, no joke. No joke on your body. It's no joke on your time and all of the things. Probably still not quite enough as I should, but it's the small things for me. It's not the big things. It's just taking that time out to go and have my hair done or sit on the beach for 5 minutes or just gather my thoughts. You know, honestly, as a mom, even just as a mom, take away all the additional stuff. Sometimes you just need to gather your thoughts and remember who you are as a person rather than all the hats that we have to wear. And I feel like often we feel that pressure of those hats.
Yeah.
Too much. I love to travel. I love to just talk with my friends. I love to eat. I love to just do regular things. But it's definitely the small things that have kept me sane over the years rather than the big gestures of grandeur. I'm not booking a 3-hour massage. It's just not happening in my house. But it is definitely, it's the small things. And I think, A, surrounding myself with people that get it and or don't get it but respect me and will just let me offload has become a real help for me. Yeah, I think you just find your thing and make sure that you prioritize that as often as possible and take the pressure off. You know, just take the pressure off. I think sometimes we feel like we've got to be doing X, Y, Z, A, B, C in order to have self-care. And do you know what? Sometimes it's just sitting in the car,
yeah.
You know, playing music or whatever it is that lights you up. Is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I love musicals and as do you and singing and everything like that and just listening at high volume to defying gravity that nobody is going to bring me down. Love it.
I love that. My singing teacher actually made me learn defying gravity. Yeah. And that end note is no joke, let me tell you. And I know that she's waiting for me to arrive back in the UK so she can whoop me vocally. So I'm here for it. But it's those things. It's, you know what, singing for me is like an escape. It's a whole nother world, even just for 5 minutes. And that's, you've got to find that for yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you? I mean, they'll find you everywhere, probably.
I mean, yeah, on most social media platforms, I'm Leona Burton or Leona Burton Official. Come and say hello. I have a massive, massive respect for SEND parents. And honestly, it's important.
Yeah.
It's important that we band together and support each other.
Definitely. Absolutely. And we can do that. I've set up a Patreon community called Conversations with the Send Mum Pod. And in that, we're going to have a monthly Zoom meetup. There's going to be bonus resources from some of our guests. There's also going to be bits from our sponsor, the Super Sensory Squad, helping kids understand their sensory systems and emotional regulation. So definitely go over and see that. They'll be in the show notes, the link to there. And join that Send parenting community, because together we are stronger and we can get through it and we can chat with people who totally get it. So thank you so much, Leona, for coming to chat with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's all right. And I will see you next week. An episode's drop every Wednesday, and I hope you enjoy your week.